The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 463. Almost forgot the number of that. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo.
And Brian Majoma.
What up?
All right, people, you already know. We're back with another one. We don't know where Adam is. He's just missing. And as we always say, Brett of the Wild will show up if he shows up. You know, got to let the man be free. It says Eurocar 9 is currently on a 3-stream streak. Thought it was more than that, man. Shit is weak.
Yo, man, you watching
Throwdown? You know,
yo, man. I'm pretty sure he's a loyal listener.
Yeah, right. 3 weeks though, it should be like fucking 52 weeks or something. You know.
The Twitch got the numbers probably messed up.
Probably, man. Anyway, we are back with another one here, so let's just get right into it. Alpha Chuck in the house, man. First question. Since we have no normal Throwdown episodes until 2024, when you talk about the GTA trailer dropping on Tuesday, what are your predictions for the release window? How badly will the internet break once the trailer drops? Oh, that's going to eat up the bandwidth that day. Absolutely. You know.
Oh, yeah. It's solely gonna take over everything.
It's already kind of doing that. You already see like other brands using that same motif, you know. Even yep. King Kong versus Godzilla, believe it or not. You know, very interesting. But yeah, that's going to dominate shit. You already know. And then as far as release window goes, here's the thing. Every GTA game that I've known of has always been delayed. At least once. I suspect the same will be with this. So what I think is going to happen is they're going to announce that it's going to come out in 2024, but it's not going to come out in 2024. It'll come out in 2025, just kind of based on.
Yeah, I think what it'll do is it'll be what we call the fiscal year release.
Yes.
So it'll be 2025. And then it'll be like early in the year, kind of yeah. Like the magic number, like March, right? When is it fiscal year? Like March or January, March?
Yeah.
January, March.
But remember, GTA games also kind of tend to just come out when they come out. Like Grand Theft Auto 4 came out in April, which is close. That's right after the fiscal year. And then I believe GTA 5 was October or so, of September, October. So we don't know, but both of those games were delayed too. I think, correct me if I'm wrong here, I think GTA 5 was delayed twice. Could be wrong about that, but I know it was at least delayed once.
Yeah, it was supposed to launch in March 2013.
Yeah.
I was there at the time. It was supposed to launch, and then they delayed it to September.
Yeah, and GTA 4 was also delayed too, if I remember correctly.
Yeah,
so there you go. Barry Bird says they can just push Agent back again. Yeah, probably will, you know. Hey, Brett just showed up.
What up?
You?
Just talking about GTA 6. They asked our prediction for the release date. I said it'll be announced for 2024 and actually released in 2025 because it's going to get delayed like every other Grand Theft Auto.
Okay, are we talking the game or the multiplayer?
The game, the actual main game.
Okay, because, yeah, the multiplayer is going to come like 6 to 8 months after that.
Okay, or 2 weeks, like last time, you know. But either way,
it's going to fucking been 2 weeks.
Huh? Wasn't it 2 weeks?
No, it was like a year.
Really? Oh, Brett, you're
no, that's, you, no. That's heist.
We got to look this up. Because was it a year? I thought it was only 2 weeks that multiplayer was delayed.
I think it was heist.
It was a couple of weeks after they came out that multiplayer was properly launched, and then I remember heists. We used to always talk that about it. It's like, when the hell is heist going to come out? You know, that was like over a year.
Yeah. we may see something like that. Although I am interested to see what they do to replace GTA 5 Online, which is still the thing that keeps selling this game, you know? So we'll see.
And quite frankly, it's probably the mode that they're putting the most attention to.
Yeah. Especially since we hear that, like, the single player will be episodic, apparently, which is disappointing.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
So they can just release the first episode and then never release more?
Yeah. Right? Or it'll just take 50 years.
No, or they'll get to it when they get to it.
Yeah, right? Yeah, because you're right.
Yeah, this game is going to be 90% GTA Online next version, which is weird to me because, like, yes, I think a lot of people wanted it, but also, like, if they want to continue the cash grab, they have to wipe the slate clean at some point.
Yeah.
Right? So this is, I think, finally what that is. Like, did you guys see any of the leaked stuff?
No, I haven't seen any of it.
No, I haven't seen anything. I mean, other than the original stuff, yes. The ones from
that stuff we talked about like a year ago, yeah. But I haven't seen any of the current leaked stuff. Have you, Brett?
Yes.
Do you feel comfortable talking about it? Like,
I'm down. Like, okay, so no, like,
the reason is maybe we don't want to spoil things for our fans. I think maybe we shouldn't talk about it.
I don't think that there's a lot spoiler worthy necessarily. Like, I didn't watch, like, there were a lot of cutscenes that had gotten up, but I didn't watch a lot of the cutscenes because, again, yeah, I didn't want to be spoiled. But, like, I'm hoping that the stuff that you see is early production footage because the game does not look good. Which I was very surprised. Like, the environments seem to look pretty good, and the game, like, the models seem to almost have taken on more of a Saints Row type vibe, which it seems weird, but also kind of answers the question, because, like, supposedly the map on this thing is significantly larger.
By the way, Brett, before you continue, just make sure whatever you say, just try to be vague about it, you know?
I am.
Okay, good.
I'm pretty sure I know exactly what you're talking about. The map is supposed to be significantly larger, and I hear that a good portion of the building interiors are accessible. So, with those two things, it kind of makes you wonder, how is this going to run on anything but the most expensive PCs? Slash, you know, how is it going to run on current-gen systems? Specifically something like Series S, or will it be able to? That's
a good question.
And does that mean, like, so they have two options here, that this isn't going to be on PlayStation 4 or they're going to lose a shitload of money. So I'm not saying that it's definitely going to be on PlayStation 4, but I would be a bit surprised if it were next gen exclusive.
Yeah,
just knowing how that spread across all the platforms.
Yeah, I mean, they're kind of done with last-gen games now, for the most part. So I'm not worried about that.
Third parties are?
No, there's still some third parties. There still are, but not as much as before. So I highly doubt this will be on PS4, you know?
I hope not. I really hope not.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that. All right, so yeah, we'll see you on Tuesday when the trailer drops. So get ready.
And by the way, just to add a note to that, we'll definitely talk about it in the pre-show of the Game Awards episode.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. You know what? Yeah, we'll talk about that. That'll be a good topic. All right. Moving on. Next question, also from Alpha Chuck. The subject of sailing the high seas has been alluded to on the show before, but what are your stances on the practice? I am a staunch supporter of emulation, as most older titles are not available otherwise, unless you feel like overpaying on eBay. I feel that the line is much more blurred when obtaining current titles, such as emulating Switch games on the Steam Deck, but understand why people do it. Where do you feel the line is? He's talking about piracy, by the way.
I feel like in terms of older games that are not accessible, I really couldn't care less, because there's no way companies... you know. Yep. And there's no way the companies can make a dollar off of me, you know, by buying whatever legitimate type of way they would have, which they don't. So in those aspects, like, there's just no way to play it unless you actually do that, or you offload a bunch of cash on some older hardware, you know, from somewhere else, that's not going to make a dime for the company that made the game. So Yeah, that aspect for sure. I have no qualms with that aspect or that avenue.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much like how my stance is. It's like, if you can't get the game anyway, you know, you're not really hurting anybody's pockets here, you know? And Carlos, what's your stance on doing that for games you already own that are available?
Oh, I feel this. Yeah, I already purchased.
Yeah, that you already purchased.
Particulars.
Yeah, and are still, you could still get them.
Yes, so I feel the same.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not distributing. I'm not promoting or anything like that. I'm not gonna lose any sleep over that.
By the way, are we all agreed that, or do we all agree that selling it is fucking bad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Anybody have any different stances on this?
My thing is slightly different, but more or less the same lines, which is it's based around the idea of ownership. If you have purchased a product, then as far as I'm concerned, that then becomes quote unquote yours in the sense of you can get another copy if you need to. So for example, if I purchase a game, then let's say, for example, I need to put it on a machine or something, or I want to keep it as a digital copy for my own personal usage. Fine. Makes sense. Let's say, for instance, there's a game I want to play and I want to purchase, but there's no viable way to purchase said game for a myriad of reasons, whether it's out of print or you can't find it. Again, I mean, like, genuinely, there's zero option for you to pay to get that product. Then, as far as I'm concerned, it's open to you doing whatever you need to get that. Because at that point, the owners of the product have not made a viable path for you to own said product. And hence, what else can you do about it? Like, the only other thing you can do is not get it. So, I don't know. It's a very weird stance.
Brian, do you recall what the percentage was of games released in America that you can't get no matter what? I believe it was in the 90s. Like, it was a high percent.
It was a lot. Yeah. Yeah, it was a lot.
Yeah.
And also, this goes to the idea of DRM as well. So if you feel, if you want to get a digital copy for your own personal usage of a product, then I think that's fine. And I even think it's fine if you purchased a product and then you find a way to remove the DRM from that. I think that's also fine. Because at that point, again, it's your project. You can do as you wish. Which is why this whole online verification thing is just really disgusting in all fronts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Anybody else? I agree with that.
I probably support it way more than everybody here to an infuriating degree.
Uh-oh. Go ahead.
Yep, sorry.
Yo, man, you saying Game Pass is piracy?
No, I'm saying go fucking nuts. I don't care. I don't even have the reservations of, like, well, if you can't buy it or if they don't put a thing, like, look, as long as your mindset is not like that of the worst, say, 1%, where you're like, I'm just going to pirate thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars for every piece of media I consume and not pay anybody anything. Like, honestly, those people don't really exist for the most part. Most people who pirate some stuff either pirate because they're either too poor to afford the content on their own, or they're dubious of buying it to begin with because they either feel taken advantage of or possibly lied to or deceived, or they're not really sure. If they buy a movie, or if they, I think even a lot of people that will pirate a movie and if they like it, they'll buy it, or pirate a game and if they like it, they'll buy it. And that's even before word of mouth or suggestive sales come in. Like, if I pirate a movie and I show it to 12 people and 2 of them buy it, have we gained or lost sales for the movie? I know some staunch people are going to be like, well, you've lost sales, but like, I would argue like, if I showed it to somebody, to 2 people who were never going to see it to begin with, and they both bought copies, then my pirating has increased sales. And that's been shown to be the case sometimes. It's really tough to demonstrate because it's you can't really define where people sit at the beginning of the whole thing. Like, it, and this has been, we've been going through this as long as pirating has been around. Like, if I pirate something, is that a lost sale? Not necessarily. It's not that cut and dry. So I don't agree with pirating small stuff from. Right? What's that?
Especially if it's not available anymore, right?
Yeah, well, then, no, definitely yeah. then. But I think the places where, like, some of you guys will agree disagree with me is, like, I don't think that pirating from small teams whose bottom line you could actually end up hurting is good. But also, like, I remember when Rachel was going through cancer treatment, man, and, like, I was her only means of care and support, and our finances, like, we weren't making much money. I unapologetically pirated shit because there was no other way I was ever going to get to it. But I also helped increase sales because I was a fucking sounding board for all the content that I watched to a lot of people. So, like, I don't see the harm in it for, like I said, 99% of the people. I know a lot of people would get on me for, like, that being a little too lax, but I have a Jolly Roger tattooed on me. You're not going to get any better.
Yeah, got a comment about that, Brett. And so I'll read it to you. This is from Blitz. Yep. He goes, I'm down with Tony and Carlos's stance in that if it's no longer available, then go for it. If it's available, then just pay the price. Can't afford it isn't an excuse.
I mean, you say whatever you want to, man. That doesn't mean that you're the morality or the ethics police. And if you would come in here and say that, for instance, my wife who was suffering from cancer treatment did not deserve to watch a movie to take her mind off her cancer payment. Or her cancer pain, unless she paid for it, then I will invite you to go finally fuck yourself. Yeah. So we're going to have to agree to disagree on that one. I think that you are being reductive to the point of being problematic on purpose. You know, for real fucking like, so orphans don't deserve to watch fucking movies. Like quit being obstinate, man. Like just because you can't necessarily afford something doesn't mean that it should be withheld from you. Morally or ethically, and if you think so, I would love to hear the argument behind that other than you didn't pay for it, so it's not yours.
I mean, that is a pretty good stance, though.
What, you didn't pay for it, it's not yours?
Yeah, I mean, I actually agree with what he said. I'm like, listen, like it's like going, oh, this guy's starving, but he stole bread, it's okay. No, he stole the bread.
No, you that's know? Different, because when you steal bread, there is a lack yeah. of bread there.
Oh, by the way, Brett, real quick. Yeah, he says that, remember, this is his stance. He goes, his wife has metastatic breast cancer, and he still doesn't, approve of that behavior.
I'm sorry, you cut out just the wrong time. Can you repeat that?
He says that his wife has metastatic breast cancer, and he doesn't approve of that behavior. So, F you too.
So, that, I think you missed the point on that one, like, so are you saying that you can't afford, say, like, entertainment and so therefore she should sit and be in pain because you can't afford it? Like, I didn't say cancer meant that she should get it. You realize that, right?
No, he's saying that you guys are kind of in the same boat and he wouldn't do that. Understand?
Yeah, but the key there was, like, because I was her caretaker, we did not have a lot of options and did not have a lot of money.
Yeah, and he says, don't tell him he doesn't know struggles with cancer. Ooh, this is getting heavy.
Hey, this is too personal, man. It's too personal now. Like,
yeah. let's move that. On. Yeah, and apologies if anybody got offended by any of that, you know? Let's move it on. Thank you, Carlos. Next question. We're veering completely to another topic right now. Also from Alpha yeah. Chuck. This is not intended to fan the console war flames or disparage any group of gamers. I just find it curious. I made an interesting observation regarding achievements, trophies between platforms. It seems that PC and PlayStation users complete games faster than Xbox. Take Elden Ring, for example. Regarding platinum or completion rate, 8% for Steam, 10% for PlayStation, and only 3% for Xbox players have achieved that status. What do you think is the reason? Note that I chose a game that is not or has never been on any subscription service for parity. That is not a factor for this game. I'm glad he brought that up. That's a good point. Because that was going to be my first fucking answer. My first answer was going to be, if you're on Xbox Game Pass, you have no incentive to finish the game because you're just a dabbler, basically. But he chose a game that isn't on any subscription service. So, it's a good question. It's like, why don't Xbox players finish games as much as Steam and PlayStation guys? Maybe because they're being distracted by other games on Game Pass?
Well, the barrier of entry for a game is like super low for if it's available on Game Pass.
Yeah.
If you buy the game, you feel kind of obligated to at least give it more of a chance. I mean, when you're testing out the waters in Game Pass, it's like, I'm not feeling this like after the first couple of hours or minutes or whatever. Let me move on to the next game. And I feel like that's more, it's going to be more of a thing.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to see if you got this some of the same kind of information, like for amount of time played in online games. Like, I wonder if it has to, because like part of me wants to be like, well, maybe it's like a more casual versus hardcore thing, because I can definitely see that split being more hardcore on the PlayStation side, more casual on the Xbox side. But that doesn't explain the computer. That doesn't explain PC.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. I honestly don't have an answer. I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know if it's a. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what can be done. Is like maybe the PlayStation, maybe the people on PlayStation like the, you know, like the idea of the platinum trophy.
That's a, yeah, that's a good. That's an incentive. That is for sure. You know, because with Xbox, it's like you just get a number. Like, okay, your gamer score rose. Okay, you know.
Yeah. Well, one difference now than before is now that if you're using the Xbox app and you know like if you're part of that you know that app and all that other stuff, it is connected to the Microsoft service where you get legitimate points.
They're getting rid of that, by the way.
Complete games and stuff like that. Oh, they are.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they're getting rid of that.
I guess it's because there are a lot of, maybe there might be a lot of, maybe it's something that a lot of people are not interested in. But I mean, you legitimately, you could get some, you know, like you get like $5 off of, you know, $5 gift cards and all kinds of other stuff. I mean, Adam for a while was saying how much he was, you know, additional stuff he was getting for playing games on there and checking in.
Yeah. But yeah, they're cutting that service off. So,
yeah.
I wonder if Sony's going to do that.
I don't know.
What's up, they got Brett? Something similar now.
Well, I wonder, like, I know Elden Ring isn't technically a single player game, but it kind of feels like one, and that's how most people play it. So from that point of view, if you kind of look at it like a narrative heavy single player game, it would definitely fit better into PlayStation's ecosystem that way.
Yeah. Do you think maybe like Xbox guys don't beat as many games because they mostly play multiplayer games? I don't know if there's data for that, but I don't know.
Part of me wants to say that just because, like, I know that games like Sea of Thieves have, like, a real healthy ecosystem on there. So, like, people are on there. I think that maybe they're gravitating more towards those type of games, which would, again, kind of be classically what PlayStation and Xbox generally do. Like, PlayStation has more traction with narrative, kind of big budget games, and Xbox has traditionally had more traction with, like, online multiplayer games, not necessarily like Fortnite, but like Grounded and Sea of Thieves and that kind of thing.
Yeah, could be that, you know. But it's a good question. I never realized the numbers were like that, because it seems like Steam and PlayStation are roughly the same. Then Xbox is just, you know.
Well, I mean, the thing about it is, like, you know, I would say the general market console would be the, you know, the one that the zeitgeist console would be PlayStation. So that,
yeah.
Sort of makes sense to me, but yeah, the completion rate, I don't know. I mean, like, I would think it would be more about the sales numbers than the completion rate.
Yeah.
And, you know,
by the way, but just and, quick, completion rate in this case means 100%ing, because actual completion means, you know, actually it's like 25% or something. You know, you just beat the game. You know, these stats.
Okay,
are,
so it's yeah. it's just beating the game, not the it's just beating the game, not just what's that thing?
No, he's asking for guys who got 100% with the platinum, all that stuff, you know? But I'm saying completion rate, just dudes who beat the game, it's roughly 25% across the board. Last time I checked, it could be different now. Last time I checked, it was like a couple
of years ago. Okay, wait. So that would mean, if that were the case in this, that you're getting more trophy hunters specifically on PlayStation.
Yeah, because he's talking about achievements and trophies. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's a whole different thing, and kind of implies a whole different set of reasons, I would think. Like, okay, so what about, I mean, it seems counterintuitive when you're like, Xbox gives you free stuff for getting achievements. PlayStation doesn't, but PlayStation seems to have
not so much now, because if you're part of their very similar sort of thing, you do get points, you know, that you could use to get like cards and game, you know, like get what is it, those PlayStation cards or games, though granted I would say Xbox, but what Xbox offers is a little bit more easier to generate points for than it is for PlayStation.
I mean, but still,
so, I don't think, you know, like, you don't, in other words, you don't get any, for PlayStation, you don't get, points for just completing the game as you would on Xbox. Like, they're, like, you getting the achievements actually affects the amount of, like, you know, I guess, points that you're generating. Whereas for PlayStation, you have to do specific tasks in order to earn points. So like, they're like, hey, Elden Ring just came out. You can earn a bunch of points to go toward a gift card, you know, like a gift card or a PlayStation card, and earn a stupid virtual item, stuff like that. So I don't know if it's a thing. I definitely don't think it's their reward system, because I think their reward system is kind of shitty compared to Xbox. At least anything, you know, like anything on Microsoft can generate points to be used to create something. Like, in other words, logging, doing searches on their search engine on stupid Bing, you know, like playing games, you know, just getting a bunch of achievements gets you points. Logging into their application daily also earns you points. It's and also playing this one Bejeweled type game on there also earns you points. So there's all these different things that can earn you points on there. And you would think, okay, yeah, like, you know, you finish the thing so you can get some more points. But I don't know.
Yeah, interesting. All right, moving on here. Dumeke, a.k.a. Blitz. Again, to your questions, brother. Hopefully you're still there, you know. Okay, so you asked us, you know, what our favorite games were, what our biggest disappointments. That's going to be for the year-end special. So we'll save that for, you literally have segments on that, so stay tuned. But you did ask three questions, so we'll answer both of these. First one here is, with Sega sending out cards to influencers stating new era, new energy, and saying to watch the Game Awards, what's your realistic prediction? What's your dream prediction for what they have to show? Okay, so I saw this tweet from Maximilian Dude, right? Maximilian Dude is like a fighting game influencer, right? So, and this dude had previously put out a video or several videos talking about how he believes, say, he basically found all the clues of how Sega is possibly working on Virtua Fighter 6, right? I have been asking for Virtua Fighter 6 since Throwdown has been a show. That's how long I've been asking, and longer than that even, right? So that's 12 years, right? When Throwdown first started, they came out with Virtua Fighter 5 Remix or whatever for the PlayStation 3, and the game was already 5 years old at that point, right? I have been asking for Virtua Fighter 6 this entire time, so I hope that it is Virtua Fighter 6, because I find it a crime that every major fighting game franchise has returned in some capacity except for the king of 3D fighters. Virtua Fighter. We wouldn't have Tekken without Virtua Fighter. We wouldn't have Soul Calibur without Virtua Fighter. It's insane that Sega hasn't brought this franchise back. So I've been let down too many times. So I'm gonna reserve my my enthusiasm. My heart's been broken many, many times over the decade, people. You know, so I'm not gonna go that far. But I would love it. Realistic. It's probably gonna be some Yakuza thing. You know, because that's like their cash cow now. I hope it's Virtua Fighter 6, man. I've been asking that forever. Literally, go back to like the first episodes of Throwdown. As a matter of fact, there was one episode where I went head-to-head with the guy who kind of conceived of Throwdown. I'm not going to name names. He challenged me to Virtua Fighter, and I whipped his ass, you know? But yeah, Virtua Fighter needs to come back. That's the game right there, man. That game is the reason why I don't even touch Tekken. I'm like, fuck that, man. Virtua Fighter, man. You know? So yeah, that's my prediction/hope. What about the rest of you guys?
So let me get this straight, because I wasn't aware of this. Influencers got a
physical card.
A card, man. Look, this is what I'm saying, man. This is the factory, man. You got people who got a card to promote to their viewers, and they did it. It's like, what substance is that? Like, that, I don't know. Maybe it's just me, and I'm kind of shriveled inside. But like that just seems like, I don't know. I don't even know how to describe it.
Yeah. I don't, you know, one thing I never really understood why they give gifts like that to influencers for promotion, because number one, it's like, does that even sell anything?
Like, no, it builds hype.
You know? What's the hype? There's nothing connected to it.
Yeah, there's
like,
no,
you know,
yeah.
Like hype for what? Like, I could say, like, if Sega gave you as an influencer, I don't know, 100 copies of to give out, or you know, like a bunch of these cards to give out to people, that builds hype.
Yeah,
yeah.
Not just giving somebody some T-shirt and saying, you know, and then essentially them just following a lemming, and be like, hey, I got this from Sega.
Yeah. Oh, no, by the way, I agree with what you said. I'm just saying that's their thinking, you know? That's how they're thinking about this shit.
It just feels like like these influencers are just fucking drones.
And we're talking about it, so.
Well, no, that's the thing. The thing about it is like, does that even translate to sales? Because
it's a good question.
I've always heard, at least from a lot of the marketing people, that a lot of that stuff is just smoke. It doesn't do a damn thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good question. I honestly don't know.
That and doing advertisements on Twitter.
Yeah. Anything. Obviously, this builds up more hype, but all that was needed was Capcom to just post that shit on their Twitter, and that's it.
Yeah.
Or
Sega, in this
it's
case.
It's like, hey. Oh, yeah. Oh, Sega. It's like, hey, you know. It's like these influencers are simps for attention. Like, it's ridiculous, man. Carlos, I just find it.
How do you become an influencer, man?
Oh yeah, I understand. I'm just telling you what I think.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous, but whatever. I mean, hopefully it's a good announcement. But I don't know. I wouldn't hold my breath. We've been disappointed way too many times.
Yeah. Anybody else? What Sega might be showing again? What is it? What's the tagline here? New era, new energy. We'll see.
Yo, man, 3D Sonic.
Yeah. Right. Oh God, another one. Didn't we just have one? No, it was 2.5D or whatever.
Yeah, no, Frontiers.
Yeah, Frontiers. Yeah, sorry, World War 3, yeah. Chris, any guesses for what Sega may show? Maybe of Streets of Rage? I don't know.
Well, I mean, clearly it's a new Outrun game, right? Except they're going to use electric cars. That's what I got from New Era, New Energy, right? Yeah. They're like, oh, we have electric vehicles now.
Oh, man.
You going to get a Cybertruck?
That's right. Well, then it'll look like Ridge Racer on PS1.
Yeah, it'll look like virtual racing. It'll be perfect, you know? Keeping it Sega, you know? All right, let's move on here. Another one from Dumeke. With the Series S largely panned as being an issue with the current gen holding some games back, would you find it more palatable if Xbox and Sony, I guess, release a handheld to go alongside their flagship console? Plays the same games, but at lower resolution, etc. But it also has to be reasonably priced to replace the Series S. More powerful than a Switch, but probably not on par with the ROG Ally, etc. This is first-party handheld hardware to replace the S and Portal, LOL. And it's purely hypothetical. But wouldn't you still kind of run into the same issue where you have to make a game run on the lower spec system?
Yeah, this would solve literally nothing.
Yeah, it wouldn't solve anything. it would be the same problem. It might be even worse. You know,
you'll need to have your developers making sure that these games work on that. So it's just extra overhead to the whole process. I don't see how this would help.
Yeah. So yeah, it wouldn't help at all. You know. Yeah. And Blitzman, I've been let down so many times by Sega teasing shit. You know. So hopefully we'll see, man. All right. Moving on here. Jolly yellow nerd, Bren. By the way, people, we only have two more questions. So if you want to ask us anything else, please feel free to. If not, show's going to end early, you know?
If that's the case, can I just interject and kind of loop back into the last question?
Because about Sega?
I heard,
yeah.
No, I don't care about Sega. Yeah. Again, I'm with you, Tony. It's like, until they show something, I don't care. You know, just either show it or you don't. Whatever.
Yeah.
Regarding the CSS, did you guys hear about the news from Larian Studios regarding the Baldur's Gate 3 news that they have update about the CSS?
Now, what's going on? Because remember, people, for in case you know what Brian's talking about, the reason that game hasn't come out on Xbox is because they couldn't do split screen on the S. So what's going on with them now?
Basically, in the quest to make it run on that platform, they managed to get through a hurdle, I guess you'd call it. And they optimized the game. So now it's... I don't know if they said that it can run well, but by the sound of it, they managed to make a few optimizations that will also benefit all other platforms. So what's your thoughts on that? In the efforts to make it run on a low-powered platform, they managed to optimize it, so now it benefits every other platform. So thanks to the CSS, the PS5 version will get a boost in performance.
That's what they say.
Exactly. Well, they're the developers. Like, who else are we going to listen to? Like, listen to them when they said that they can't get to work on the S.
Yeah.
So what? You're going to listen to them for that and not for this?
No, I'm just saying go ahead.
Oh, hold on. So, Brian, can't believe I'm about to say it. Are you saying that this is an instance where the S is not holding the industry back, but progressing the industry by its existence?
I don't know if I'd use those words exactly, but I would say that due to the S, other platforms will get a boost in performance.
I still feel like it's holding the industry back, but that is the truest sense of irony ever.
Yeah, we need to get Digital Foundry on the case, you know, because I want to see how much the performance goes up. Go ahead, Brian.
Carlos.
Carlos, yeah.
The whole thing I call shenanigans. Because literally every single game that's come out these last three generations has gotten better after several months or a year of fixing bugs, increasing performance. Cyberpunk is a completely different game now than it was when it came out 2 years ago. So,
I mean, they could just be framing it that way. Like, we have managed to do optimization, not because our game was unoptimized, but because of Xbox. We've managed to optimize it enough to be on Xbox, and that also makes it run everything better on everything else.
Well, not only that, but I mean, the Larian Studios is releasing a hugely popular game on another popular platform, the Xbox Series lines of video game consoles. So they need a way to promote it, and what a better way to promote it than, oh, you know, we were working on it for the Series S, and we found a way to make it even better. Of course you did. You've added extra development time, significantly more development time into the game. You can always improve it.
See, Carlos, this is why I like you, man. That's you need that level of cynicism and skepticism about shit like that, you know? So I'm with you on that one. My thing is, like, I want to see the actual improvements, like a before and after, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, and obviously being working on it on a Series S is going to help you figure out stuff. Like, if you got bugs, if you got performance hiccups, like, working on it more can only help. But I mean, at what point, you know, this game has been delayed on the Xbox for what, over 6 months now?
Not 6 months, because the game came out in August, I believe, on PC, then in September on PlayStation. Should have come out in September for Xbox as well, you know?
Yeah, so a couple of months.
Yeah.
And we'll see when this is going to, I think it's going to release probably at the end of the year or maybe next year, but
they claim 2023 still, you know?
Yeah.
I'll believe it when I see it, you know?
Kishak sent a highlighted message. He said, yeah, they got better at making games on the new platforms over the past 3 years. So of course they would improve performance.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He called shenanigans on this too.
Why? So you called shenanigans from your side to the developer, or?
Well, I'm not calling shenanigans specifically. I'm saying I want to see it because that sounds very intriguing to me, you know?
I just want to know what you guys are calling shenanigans on, because if you guys are saying that the developer's up to shenanigans, but yet you listen to them when they said that it can't run.
Carlos is saying he's saying that the game would have run better anyway, just because that's what naturally happens when you keep developing on a game, that it would have gotten better regardless. That's what he's saying. Mm-hmm. I'm personally not using the word shenanigans. That's what Carlos's word was.
I'm calling shenanigans on the narrative.
He's saying it's PR spin. It's not untrue. It's just PR spin.
How PR spin from the developers saying that, hey, we managed to optimize the game and it runs better on all platforms because of it?
Yeah, but it was going to improve anyways, even without the Series S stuff.
I mean, it does sound better to say managed to optimize it than we've continued polishing it.
Name me a game that hasn't improved after a year of release.
All games have improved after release, Carlos. But I'm saying, if you want to say that, okay, it's just a natural order of fact, I'm saying because the S is, again, as you guys say, the lowest common denominator,
yeah,
it's limited by its technology, etc., etc. By them having to squeeze it on that platform, they manage to squeeze the game more so that everything else benefits from it. What I'm saying is, if they didn't need to squeeze it on that platform, we wouldn't be getting such optimizations as we are getting.
Everyone's talking.
I do not need to stand here and listen to you besmirch my boy Larian. All right. Hold on. I just want to hear you say.
Why would that be a besmirchment?
Hold on. Are you saying that they wouldn't have continued to optimize the game if they didn't need to put it on Xbox?
I'm not saying that they wouldn't. I'm saying that this degree of optimization, I believe, is down to them putting it on the Series X.
But what's this degree mean?
That's my question. What's the degree? What are the examples they're giving?
I'm trying to find the exact quote, but it seems like they're saying that the RAM usage has been reduced by some degree. I'm trying to quantify it, so bear with me.
Go ahead.
I only argue that not. For the only reason I argue this is because I think that Larian would have continued to optimize Baldur's Gate, not just for the console, but to make it as accessible on as many low-power PCs as possible, because Larian is just kind of that type of studio, and they're just kind of good guys. The same way they have been continuing to optimize bugs and adding additional features. There has been talk of additional content. They have increased not only romantic options, but endings in the game, and are talking about increasing the level cap. So they're just putting bonus content in there for free. So I don't think it's that unreasonable to think if they're going to do that, that they wouldn't continue to optimize it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay, so managed to see the numbers, and according to this post from Windows Central, I don't know where they're getting this number from, but I'm still going to look. They claiming that they managed to optimize the RAM by 34%, and that will affect all platforms. And again, going back to what Brett has saying, given that both the Series X and the PS5 both have the same amount of RAM, and generally PCs these days mostly come with 16 gigs of RAM, and I think the CSS is 12 gigs, if I'm not mistaken. I'll have to double check those numbers. Hence why I don't think that this is just due to them generally optimizing, because if you were trying to optimize, you wouldn't really look for a place where you don't think bottlenecks exist, because that's not how you optimize. You look at the bottlenecks and you aim for those things, but if you don't see it, then you can't find it.
Yeah. Again, I want to see some independent verification here. By the way, real quick, because this is a great point from Blitz. He goes, man, I've heard developer comments get held under scrutiny many times. Why is this different? Good point. Every developer should be held under the same scrutiny. And we think Larian is the shit. Don't get us wrong. Larian's dope. But they got to be held under the same scrutiny too, you know?
And by the way, none of us are saying that working on the development of the Series S has helped done improvements. It's just more like Like, I'm pretty sure this game was going to be improved significantly anyways.
Regardless. They're already... just to your point, Kishak says, the last update for Baldur's Gate 3 added a shit ton of new content for pass and game. Larian are great. So, yeah, they...
But then that's content, not optimization. Yeah, I'm distinctly talking about optimization. Because, again, this is like, the talking point is getting the game to run on the CSS. They couldn't do that, as they've said, and we all agree. And we all presume it's because the CSS could not handle it, as they have said. Fine. But then now they're saying that, hey, we found some optimizations in trying to make it run on the S, and then now that benefits all platforms.
Maybe, again, this is like doing a porting process, right? You know, like maybe just doing something like this in this situation, it's something that they couldn't achieve within the time frame that they completed the other previous versions. So my guess is like, okay, so now they've been able to sit with it and be like, all right, yeah, now we figured out how to do this stuff, you know, to get this square peg to work in a round hole, and it's benefiting everything else. I don't see an issue. I don't see an issue with this. I just feel like it's a situation of like, okay, just like putting out a PC, you know, like, you know, when you put out the PC, a console version, take a console game and set up for a PC or vice versa, these things need additional time. So my guess is just like, okay, now you're sitting, we're sitting with it and we're looking at the issue, and then, you know, the optimization things and, you know, cutdowns that we needed to do for this thing now work out for the other things. It's not a bad thing. I don't see this as anything.
It's not a bad thing.
And if they port this game to the Switch, they're going to find even more optimizations.
Well, here's the thing though. Like, yeah, the Xbox got caught in that, but like, you know what they've been would be awesome is like, it was right on the cusp of being able to legitimately run on the Steam Deck. So any notable optimization would really do well for the Steam Deck, which a lot of people want to be able to play Baldur's Gate on the Steam Deck. There's a lot of crossover between people who are thinking about buying a Steam Deck because they own Baldur's Gate, or thinking about buying Baldur's Gate because they own a Steam Deck. They kind of go hand in hand. Like, and I don't think that the option is necessarily binary, Brian. Like, I know that to a certain extent it is because of the way that you kind of prefaced it. Like, would they be doing this degree of optimization on it? But, like, I think that, one, you still have the Steam Deck in there. And, two, at the end of the day, like, we're talking about motivation. So, like, sure, they could have had optimization on the whiteboard, and then they could have added Xbox as further motivation on the whiteboard of reasons they wanted to optimize. Now, does that mean that when they optimized it, it was specifically for point A or B? Like, no, again, like, it's not binary in that sense. Like, these are just motivators to encourage a certain type of behavior. And the more eggs you have in that basket, the more weight it's going to hold. So, which egg in that basket is the one that made you motivated to do the task? And like, it's not really any of them. It's the culmination of all of them. So I will agree though, that weight probably got put on optimization. Importance probably got put on optimization because of the limitations of the Series S. Like, I'm willing to meet you there if that'll make you happy.
That is mostly what I'm trying to say here. Like, there are optimizations that have happened, and from the words of developers themselves, we owe it due to the CSS.
Yeah. No, I mean, if that's the case, that's pretty dope, you know?
That is what they've said, and I also checked the RAM as well. The CSS has 10 gigs of RAM, which is far less than I thought.
Now, Brian, this is what I found out, and this is interesting, and you know more about this than I do, so I wanted your take. So Steam Deck has 16 gigs of DDR5 RAM, right? And the S has 10 gigs of DDR6 RAM.
Are you sure it's not GDDR6?
Yeah, GDDR6. So what's the difference with those? LPDDR5 for Steam Deck and GDDR6 for the S.
There's not really... Okay, it depends just how deep you want to go into it, but... if I remember correctly, I think the GDDR RAM branched off from around the DDR3 space. But in, again, I'll have to look a bit more into it, but I don't think there's much in the way of vastly different that will cause, well, that would explain this. The only thing I'm for certain that I can say is the GDDR6 is memory specifically for graphics cards, hence why anytime you port on graphics cards, they always come with GDDR, blah, 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 blah. Whereas DDR is just general computing RAM. So the specializations are slightly different. But as far as I'm concerned, when used in these type of applications, i.e. gaming, the difference is they don't allow a big enough gap to make, well, they don't allow a big enough chasm to make a difference in, as far as I remembered about it. Again, I could be wrong. If someone else wants to go further than that, feel free.
Yeah. The reason I asked is because, you know, the people will look at this and go, oh, Steam Deck has more RAM, therefore it's better. I don't want to go there. You know what I mean? I'm just saying you are either. I'm just saying I want people to understand that these are two different types of RAM that they're using, you know?
Yeah. My thing is looking at what they've said and looking at the fact that the CSS has less RAM than, again, PS5, Xbox, most PCs, according to the Steam charts, and also the Steam Deck, which roughly 16, give or take.
Yeah.
It makes sense that when the developers come out and say, hey, we found a way to optimize the RAM because we had to make a game that's running on 16 gig machines run on a 10 gig machine.
Yeah.
To me, that makes obvious sense. I mean, the thing has less RAM, so hence you need to find a way to optimize the RAM, make it run on that machine with less RAM.
Yeah. No, the logic is sound, you know, but I really want to see the test results. But if they did that, that's fucking dope as fuck, you know?
Again, I'm not saying that that they wouldn't have found a way to optimize it.
Yeah.
I'm saying that this seems to be a case of them specifically trying to optimize it to work on something that it was not working on, as they've said, has given us a boost for everything. So in a weird way, this is a case of, hey, the CSS made some game, well, a game better.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if that's the case, you got to give it to the S, right? Because you're right, they wouldn't have tried to do that any other way. Like, because I see what you're saying. It's like, yes, the game was going to get optimized, but they weren't, I mean, the game was going to get updates and all this other stuff, but they weren't optimizing for the RAM because everything else used 16 gigs of RAM, you know? So, yeah.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Like, yeah. Again, I can see what Carlos is saying, but at the same time, we now don't live in that alternate world where the CSS does not exist. So there's no way for us to know that if they would have found these optimizations if the CSS did not exist.
Yeah. Yeah, and I understand the technicality of which you speak, Brian, but I'm not gonna crown their ass because like just because they fucking did something. Cause that, like that whole thing, it's a whole, you know, thank God we had the Series S, the 2023 game of the year can continue being the 2023 game of the year. And like, I'm talking more about narrative sense. Yeah. We're talking technicalities. Yeah. I'm all with you, but this whole discussion is going to turn into some people being like, you see the Series S.
Oh, you Series know S is that's great. Coming. You know that's coming. By the way, Brian, I appreciate the fact that you called it Series S the entire time. Love it.
Yeah, I appreciate Brian sticking to the bit.
Yeah, he stuck with it, man. I appreciate that.
By the way, shout out to Dirty Deaf Dealer for subscribing. Yeah, appreciate it, man.
Yeah, one of the old school, man. Been with us forever. Shout out to you, man. All right, good stuff. Glad that went on. Now we're good. We could probably have a normal length show. Jolly Yellow Nerd. We good. In regards to the whole Xbox tax conversation that's been going on, I know the word tax is thrown around for sensationalism, but maybe burden would be a more fitting term. As you guys have said, Microsoft has earned its position of people being doubtful / suspicious of Xbox announcements and news. It's a burden that they created on their own, and they will have to deal with it on their own. Maybe Xbox burden fits. Yeah, I like that. I call it the Xbox... damn it, I forgot what the fuck I called it last week. But I do like
burden. Why don't you, It should be the Scarlet Letter.
Yeah, I call it the scrutiny. X is a letter. That's the word. Xbox scrutiny, you know? But yeah, it's because the thing is, burden also makes it seem burden could be a noble thing in some cases. We don't want it to be sound noble, you know? But I also see where you're coming from. But I think we all agree we don't like the word tax. It's stupid, you know? There's no money here, you know? Scarlet Letter, I like that one, you know? The Curse of Xbox. Anything.
It's an X.
Yeah.
the Scarlet Letter of Xbox is
or
X.
Or Xbox Curse, you know? But either way, yeah, tax is stupid. So you know what? If you want to call it the Xbox burden, you go right ahead. I like that, you know? All right. Last question of the night, unless we've got any more. Circling back around to the first one. This is from Michael Santiago, our boy. What's going on, Throwdown? What's going on, Michael? He goes, after seeing the poster for GTA 6 being used for other games and even films, we talked about that. My question is GTA Grand Theft Auto the most influential video game franchise of all time? It's one of them, and it actually is monetarily the most money-grossing thing ever. The GTA 5 specifically. Nothing has grossed as much money as that. It's definitely influential. I wouldn't say the most influential, but absolutely influential. Like, you saw, like, just the growth of open world games after that, you know? And everybody's trying to rip it off. Definitely influential for sure. I don't know about the most influential, but definitely the biggest selling game. Excuse me, the biggest selling anything in media of all
time. Piece of entertainment.
Yeah, piece of entertainment. Yeah, that's just a fact, you know.
Well, whatever tier GTA is in the pantheon of video game influence, it is the top tier.
Yeah, S. Yeah,
and honestly, I can't think of anything other than Mario.
Yeah.
That it could yep. possibly be in.
Yeah, Mario's the other one I could only think of. Like, that's probably it. Because GTA,
Call of Duty, and Fortnite, maybe, and that's in, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Street Fighter
for sure.
Influenced, you know, a lot of what's Mario. I mean, Carlos is right. Mario's probably the top thing.
Yeah.
Because all the platforming games kind of cascade from there, and then you go to 3D platforming and whatnot, and you know, and then it drips into movies and animation and all that stuff, so. Mario's probably the biggest one.
Yeah, I agree with that. Blitz says Minecraft. I'm not sure. It is very influential, but I don't know if it's like the most influential, because it itself is taking influence from Grand Theft Auto, for example, the open world, you know? But I think it's Mario. I think Mario has to be it, you know? But GTA, man, it's going to be interesting. Tuesday, get ready. That day is going to be nuts, you know? It's probably, you know, on YouTube, it's probably going to be the most watched video of all time in like a fucking week, you know, or less.
I got a question.
Why is it,
if I remember correctly, the last two GTAs were revealed with the poster. Am I right in that? Do you guys remember that's like the first thing we got from the game, the poster
for five.
And I believe four.
Oh, for some reason, with four, the first thing I remember seeing is that first reveal trailer. That's what I remember seeing, and everybody went fucking nuts when that happened.
Yeah, so I'm curious if this whole trailer that we're gonna get this week is just gonna be the poster. People are gonna be pissed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you imagine that? Well, no, they said trailer. They said trailer. They did.
Could be trailer. Well, the on GTA 5, it was an actual trailer of the poster being made.
Oh. Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Oh my God! Imagine if they do that again.
Because remember the poster is a pretty big thing for GTA. It's like,
yeah,
it's one of the most popular things about it. But yeah, I'm curious. I'm curious to see what they're gonna show. I honestly don't think they're gonna give us a date, a specific date. I think that we're gonna get a late 2024, early 2024, kind of thing.
I actually, it may just be 2024, and that's it. That's all they'll say.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't even think they want to put themselves into a box. You know, I still maintain it's going to be 2025. So this shit will be delayed. But yeah, you know, it'll be interesting to see. Get ready. And yeah, that's what we'll do before the, you know, because we're going to do a pre Game Awards thing. We'll talk about the trailer, give our thoughts, you know. Get ready for also, that night.
Yeah. I got another question for you guys.
Uh oh.
I noticed that we got more information on the Elden Ring DLC.
Yeah.
Is anybody keeping up with that? Anybody know what's going on?
No clue. All I know is gimme.
We don't know much.
Man.
Wasn't it that it's going to take... It's
all good. I heard they're
saying it.
Yeah.
They're saying it's good, at least from what I hear, it's like they said something along the lines of it being about as big as the Bloodborne DLC or more.
Yeah, and they just said, the last thing I saw, which I believe was last week, they pretty much just said, you know, we're working on this, just be patient.
Yeah, which, I'll be honest, it's kind of just disappointing because, like, Bloodborne DLC was not that big.
Mm.
I mean, it's pretty hefty. You at least got three new bosses. And you got a whole the crazy town. You got that under area, and then you got like the last thing. You got a pretty decent amount of stuff.
Yeah,
it's about as big as Yharnam, and you know all the different adjacent places. You got like three locations on that with new bosses. So
I'm saying
four new bosses, I think.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like it's not that it's particularly small. It's just that it's not particularly huge. It seems about the size of other Souls DLCs, but like every other Souls DLC came out like a year after the game. And like this one is much longer.
Yeah. Do you think that's because it's an open world and it's just going to be, you know, taking a while?
My honest opinion is that I think for some reason it was because they didn't have DLC planned immediately. Mm-hmm. And I think it might have just been one of those, just because like the world in Elden Ring is so fucking big that I could almost excuse Miyazaki for it being like, you know what, let's just put all the DLCs in with the game and make it gigantic from the start. And then we get it and we're like, more please. And he's like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
But yeah, so then he had to be like, okay, well, look, we've got Fires of Rubicon halfway through development. We got to finish that. And then we'll get some Elden Ring stuff out, I guess. So, I wonder, if that pushed back development of what Elden Ring 2? Because I wonder if, maybe
they haven't said anything about Elden Ring 2, so...
No, we have no idea what's coming afterwards. And, if you look at the general stack... Here's the thing I'm trying to figure out. If you look at the general release rate of FromSoft games as just Dark Souls type games, we get one about every 2 years. If you look at Fires of Rubicon as replacing one of the Souls games in the release schedule, it would make sense that, because that just came up and it's been about 2 years. But if you're looking at it from the point of view of the success of the Souls games allowed them to expand their development efforts, and so Fires of Rubicon is a thing that's being developed alongside the Soulsborne games that they usually make, then we have a very interesting timeline of where the fuck is the next thing? As a Souls fan, I'm getting a little itchy over here. I'm not used to going this long without my fucking fix, man. It's been a long time since I've gone 2 years or more without any kind of Soulsborne. Other than when Sekiro happened, and those were kind of dark times. I don't want to talk about
it. Hold on, Brett, but it hasn't been 2 years since Elden Ring came out.
No, yeah, but it'll
be in a few months.
Yeah, in a few months it will be, yeah.
Yeah, well, the DLC is definitely not coming before the 2 year mark.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure.
And see, that's the thing. Usually, it's about a year until the DLC or 2 years until the next game.
Yeah.
Not 2 years until the next DLC or, in what we're actually seeing here, longer than 2 years before the DLC. So, the DLC is coming longer than it usually takes a DLC to come, longer than it usually takes a sequel to come. So, I totally understand why Souls fans, myself included, are like, I'm not complaining, and I don't want to rush you, and I know that we will probably never get something like Elden Ring again. But that being said, I haven't had my crack in way too long, and I'm just, I guess, going to go back and play Elden Ring again. I've played Elden Ring.
You're getting the withdrawal syndrome?
Dude, I am. I've been all ashy and everything itches. Fuck, man. I've played through Elden Ring seven times. I don't know if I've ever played through a game as much as I've played Elden Ring, and that game is fucking big.
I mean, like, oh yeah, like if you look at the time from the DLC to, you know, like, so was it Bloodborne came out in March, right? Originally. And then the release date for the DLC was in November of the same year. So definitely a lot of, definitely seems like there's a lot more time than, you know, in between.
Yeah, I don't know what's like. I'm curious what you guys have to make of it, because of like I said, I figured Fires of Rubicon was kind of like them expanding. And if that's the case, then where's our next, like, could we, dare I dream about a new Soulsborne announcement in the near future?
I don't know.
If you look at their output, like as far as games are, like they literally have had a game every single year.
Yeah.
Demon Soul, you know, Dark Souls 3, you know, they had that one VR game, and you know, Dark Souls 3 was 16, 18 was, what is, I don't know.
For you, 17, you can't, nothing for 17 then?
Yeah, they didn't have nothing for 17, and then they had Sekiro Sekiro in 19, 2022, they had Elden Ring, and then, you know, then the following year, they had the Fires of Rubicon. Their output's pretty decent. I mean, to be honest, like, if it's taking them
just 3 years between Sekiro and Elden Ring, by the way, just, you know.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, if it's taking them this long to do it, I definitely think that it'll be, you know, I hopefully think that it'll be something very substantial. Like, you know, like.
Oh, yeah, the guys I'm not mad. I'm just antsy.
But all the guys that have, you know, dipped into the code have said there's a bunch of unused shit that sounds really cool for whatever the DLC might be. So who knows?
But knowing Miyazaki, like, it's a toss up whether that shit just got cut or.
Yeah,
or if that was unused assets saved for later. Like, there's no way to know. Like, it seems like there's stuff that was saved for later, but then why is it taking this long?
I don't know.
Because this isn't a sequel. This is a DLC.
No, this is it's definitely a DLC, but we don't know how substantial this DLC will be.
Well, they just said it's going to be about the size of Yharnam.
Yes.
DLC.
I didn't say Yharnam. Was that what the release said, that it was going to be as big as Yharnam?
Well, it said it was going to be about the size of Bloodborne's DLC.
That's not bad, but then
a ton. Like, that's about a normal size DLC for them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, they're also making other games too. I mean, I didn't hear anything about them expanding their team to do this either. So
yeah, and Fires of Rubicon definitely had a kind of Souls vibe to it, so
yeah.
Maybe that was our Soulsborne game.
I mean, that could have been. I mean, Sekiro did fill in that other spot of the other Souls game, right?
Yeah. That's not the answer I want, because that means it's going to be another couple of years.
I mean, I don't suspect it. At least they're sort of saying it, but who knows? Maybe we could end up hearing something at Game Awards. I don't know.
I would love that.
By the way, Brett Kishak says, Brett, imagine how Bloodborne fans feel. They have been dead from starvation.
Bro, like, what do you mean imagine how Bloodborne fans feel? I am how Bloodborne fans feel.
He's been waiting for Bloodborne 2 for a long time,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, like, here's the other thing, too. Like, and I don't mean specifically you. I don't know about you, but like, if you've been with me this whole time, then you know that there are a lot of motherfuckers who jumped on this Bloodborne bandwagon late, right? And I am not one of those motherfuckers. I have been here saying that shit from the beginning.
Yeah, he's old school.
I mean, Bloodborne was released in 2015, man.
Yeah.
It's been, hey, man. You know, it's been quite a while.
It's been a while. Think about it in the bright side, Brett. Maybe they're working on the Xbox Series X version for all those improvements.
Oh, man. Yeah. All right. That's going to do it for us. Another good show. Next week's Thread Questions will be pretty much a regular one, although we'll probably get a bunch of, you know, Game Awards questions and
Game Awards questions.
Yeah, but obviously GTA questions. GTA questions, not TGA questions. TGA questions at the TGAs. But yeah, this week's Thursday show will be our live stream of the Game Awards. We'll be roasting it for 3 hours or 5 hours or however long that fucking show goes on for, you know. So it'll be good. Richard Bailey Jr. is going to be joining us. I'm going to reach out to David Giltinen. He's always a good guy to have on for that. And we'll have a good time, as we always do, making fun of this dumbass award show. You know,
can you imagine if there was something that actually got us all excited? That'd be crazy. Yeah.
I mean, hey, listen, we got excited when the Xbox Series X got revealed, so it could happen. It could definitely happen.
Yeah, it could happen.
You know, so we shall see. But I wonder if they're actually going to beef up security like they promised. We shall.
To be honest, like we said on the thing, like I said on the last and Thursday show, it's like you had literally had this shit two times happen to you two times on two different shows, year to year. They better get their fucking shit together.
I can guarantee you they will, because here's the difference, right? First time it happened, that's a little embarrassing, but really, what we're just risking the safety of the people that we're giving awards to. The second time it happened, that sucks, but like now we've just established a dangerous hole in the safety of like the people that we're trying to protect. But now, if it happens, Jeff Keighley might get embarrassed. So you know, sure as shit, that's the most important thing, and it's not going to happen.
Yeah. They should have been doing that. They should have been doing that from the get go. You're telling me you have a bunch of famous people inside of this room in the same room with a bunch of normal fans that can pay $70 to come in.
Yeah, but what's more important, the safety of your guests or your ego?
Yeah. Mr. Jolly Yellow, we answered your question earlier, brother. He goes, if it happens again, people may start refusing to attend because of lack of security. Yeah.
That's it.
You can't afford that.
We can't be having that.
Yeah.
I completely disagree with Mr. Jolly Yellow. As a callback to earlier in the show, there's no lack of influencers to get into these shows.
Oh my God, yeah.
Fill the whole room. You can literally just close it to the public and just fill the room with a bunch of influencers.
I bet you, bet you Yang Ye is going to be one of the presenters. I was kidding you know?
They're totally
going to get Yang to do that. Like him being like a, you know, influencer slash voice actor. No, they're going to have him on somewhere.
Yeah. Brett, what's up, man?
Even if he's on video.
Yeah.
I said, I guarantee you, Jeff Keighley would rather somebody get tased on stage than make it up to on stage without getting onto that's like, you will not embarrass me. You will show a force of security. Even if you have to show it to the world, which I'm saying there's more of a chance of like somebody getting tackled trying to get to the stage than actually making it up there.
Yeah.
That shit's even more entertaining.
I will say this. I went to GDC earlier this year, right? And you know, over the, you know, like even to just, you know, if you get a GDC badge, you usually get the ability to go to the Game Developer Awards, right? Even as a normal, you're going there as a you know, just a person that just got the, you know, got the seat there, you still needed they checked your badge as soon as you got in, and they had literally a special section up in the front, all fenced off with a bunch of security that said if you didn't have this specific type of badge, you didn't do this, you had to sit in the other area. You couldn't go even touch the area that was where all the, you know, the main devs and all that other stuff were all sitting.
Yeah, here's the part that amazes me about it. Like, yeah, that is what they should be doing. And yes, that is correct security. But like, that is the level of security normally reserved for like getting into a Comic-Con. Like, there's no way you can get past Comic-Con like perimeter security without having the right wristband. So why is it so easy on a fucking award show?
Yeah. You know, and who knows what the security getting into the place is like. Do they do metal detectors like they do at a Comic-Con? You know, do they have little things? Or are they just like, oh, hey, yeah, I got this, you know, this little RSVP paper. And they're like, all right, you're good to go.
They did an ocular pat down, man.
Yeah. They just looked at you like, oh, okay. Yeah, I guess you look good.
Yeah, you look good. It's fine.
You can go in. And again, a guy that didn't look Asian was literally following the Miyazaki.
Fucking
that
insane.
Didn't look weird to you? Did that guy look like a translator? Just look like somebody's kid who walked up on the fucking stage.
Yeah.
this is my son from another country that I have adopted. No.
So it was like, it seemed weird, but I didn't want to come across like an asshole.
I don't want to come out. No. Tackle that kid. Clothesline that kid.
I'm just still kind of really about, like, you know, Miyazaki noticed the guy, which means you know he was just too polite to say anything.
Yeah, they're Japanese.
No, or he wasn't like, what the f-? He's just like, oh, okay, I'm in America. I guess Americans do things weird over here.
Whereas, yeah, like Tony said, if it were like a New York development team, we're like, who the fuck are you?
Yeah, who's this guy?
Yeah, I'd be like, yo, what is this? Who's this guy? Get this guy off the stage. Yeah.
Actually, any Westerner would be like, whoa, what the fuck? You know? What's up with this kid?
No, that wouldn't have happened. But again, it happened to Jeff twice. What was it? Who was the other one talking in the other show? It was the Summer Games Fest. It was like, I forgot what it was. It was like for some Xbox thing. And these guys just walked up behind the dude from Xbox. I'm like, come on, Jeff.
Twice.
Just because you're in Europe, it doesn't mean that shit doesn't change, man.
Yeah, no, you got to have tight security, Europe, man.
Europe still has psychopaths, too.
Yeah, exactly. All right, man. So that's going to do it for us. Do we have anything to plug? I'm going to guess that's a no. Carlos, no, no. I'm Negan.
No, it's currently on hiatus because I'm still waiting for the Rick and Michonne show to come up. Oh, so
boy.
Not for the time being.
Yeah, and, you know, Invincible Podcast, that's on hiatus indefinitely until the show comes back, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's going to do it for us. Again, remember, people, Thursday will be the Game Awards stream. So when does the Game Awards start? Is it 8 o'clock?
Or is it 8 o'clock Eastern?
Like, yeah, 8 o'clock. So, okay, yeah. So we'll start our stream at 7:30 then, you know, half an hour.
Yeah, we could do a little pre-show and talk about stuff, you know, all that good.
Yeah,
good
you guys can join us, hang out, you know, have fun like we always do. And then, you know, we have the Sunday show, which will mostly be a regular show. Right. But probably get some Game Awards questions. Then the week after that, we're going to have the year end special on Thursday, where we're going to go over the biggest gaming news of the year, the biggest games, biggest disappointments, things we're looking forward to, all that good jazz. That's like we usually do, you know. And then after that, the final episode of the year will be the AMA special, baby. You know, and after that, we will be taking 2 weeks off, as we usually do, and come back refreshed in the first week, first full week of January. So stay tuned for that, man. So for everything, just make sure you follow through on Twitch and Twitters, X, if you want to call it that. Join the Discord where the conversations and the rumors are always popping. You could also find us on any podcast app by searching for Throwdown Show. That's two words, Throwdown Show. Throwdownshow.com to listen to past episodes. And if you've been watching us on YouTube and liked our videos, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified of when our premieres go live, man. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
And Brian Mangioma.
Godzilla fans are eating good right now.
Yes, indeed, indeed. All right, people, you already know we'll be back on Thursday. Go watch Godzilla Minus One. It's fucking awesome. Later.